Everything you know about health is about to change. Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Sometimes people suffer not from lack of faith, but from lack of knowledge. This is the show that changes that. If you are tired of being sick, tired of not getting answers, tired of spinning in circles, for healing is not a mystery. It is a miracle that you were designed to experience. It takes hard work and real knowledge. It takes patience and time. It takes the education this show can provide. So, get it straight today. Here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. It's me. It is I, Dr. Vincent Medici, welcoming you to a rainy, cloudy, windy day. And let me tell you, the surf was worth it. Every bit of it. You can't talk about immunity. You can't talk about the immune system. You can't talk about your resistance to colds. You can't talk about priming your immune system without talking about the ocean. It is the indispensable asset, truly. You know, years ago, I bought some property in the central states, in that Idaho, Iowa area, Missouri. I was very interested in that because the land was very cheap there and you still had fairly pristine wooded areas. This is before the crash and just after the crash of 2009. And it was a great idea as long as you didn't want to sell the property you bought. And I certainly didn't. I just wanted an area that was untouched. Well, I think I'm going to keep that. But what I'm really looking to do and in the process of is get right on the coast. And the colder, the better. Because you can't have the kind of health that I'm talking about without using the ocean. I am completely enamored of it. And I know I've brought this up before and I've done shows on it in the past, but it's just blown my mind. I have to tell you, I know few people that have done in the name of health as many things as I have in terms of practice, education, experience with people who are in bad shape with their health. I know few people that have done as much as I have. And I got to tell you, you hear me repeat myself because I'm just blown away. What a practice at the ocean will do for you is just, it's unprecedented. And one reason, and I've brought this up before, especially on a day that's colder and windier and rainier, right? The kind of day you want to stay indoors. You want to go outside. You don't want to go outside. You're under the delusion that if you do, you're going to get sick. And even people on the freeway when it rains, right? I always remind you, they speed up because there's something about the rain coming down that makes people panic. Well, the ultimate exercise in panic, but it's a healthy kind of panic, is when you go to a clean ocean, and I say that partly tongue-in-cheek, but you can get that down in that San Clemente, San Diego area, up Malibu, Santa Barbara, up the coast. Our oceans are still fairly clean. On a day like today, when you go into the ocean, in the wind, in the rain, barely clothed, you know, in your little loincloth bathing suit, whatever you're doing. That shock to the body primes the immune system. Shock primes the immune system. Shock primes the hormonal system. But this is what we call healthy shock. And what that means is it makes the immune system more aggressive. It wakes it up because it tells the central system, the hypothalamic systems of your brain, meaning what you call your immunity, what you call your resistance to cancer, what you call your resistance to this winter's flu, is dictated by the central nervous system, meaning there's a place between your ears in your brain called the hypothalamus. It runs the whole show. And that relationship between this hypothalamus and your bone marrow and your immune system cells that the bone marrow produces, they're all in a triage with each other. you dunk that head into good cold salt water, and you have done an internal massage to your brain second to none in the planet. And it's free. It's free. It's what we evolved out of. Now I'm really going to blow your mind. I had an experience a couple of weeks ago. I didn't tell you the last show. Where at 6:30 in the morning, just as the sun was rising, I saw a seal. Now, that's not all too common in the ocean, but occasionally you will. A few minutes later, this 4 or 5 foot fin, huge fin, like a fin on a shark, comes up out of the water, a good distance away from me. And, you know, when you see something like that, the first thing that goes off in your mind is shark. Of course, with a fin that large, you've either got a 60-foot shark or it's not a shark. And it wasn't a shark. But what was so outstanding about this moment is the whale, because it was a whale, was so close to the shoreline. It was so close. It was almost like you stopped and you looked at it, and first you were in awe of this 4 or 5 foot fin coming out of the water, and then your thought was, why is it so close? I don't know why it was so close, but it wasn't in trouble, and it was so close. In fact, it was so close to me. And I did it. I didn't think about it. I was kind of just drawn to it. I swam into about 12 feet of water. Because I don't go in deep. I'm above the wave break line, but I don't go in deep. That's not my purpose. But I got to within about 10, 12 feet of that whale. And I don't know what it was doing. It was just hanging out in the water. It was just having a good time. I don't know, but I can tell you this. I got close enough to see something that changed my life forever. This ain't whale watching. This is like you could shake hands with it. And I wasn't that close. I must have been 10, maybe a little bit further away, enough to clearly see about a 30-foot whale. I still don't even know what it was. I don't know what kind of whale. But it was just hanging out there for a little while. And there it is. That's the icing on the cake. You're talking about a moment that's not only for your immune system, but it's for your nervous system. Time stops in that moment. Discourse with nature stops. Your sympathetic nervous system. You're not thinking about your bills. You're not thinking about your problems. You're not thinking about whatever you normally think about when you're in the water dodging waves, when you're in the water just bathing yourself in that sanctity. And then, I mean, for 7, 8 months, I do this. I don't see any whale. You don't even see a seal. And there it is at 6:30, 6:45 in the morning. I'm talking to a whale. That's big. And when you talk about supercharging the immune system, you have to understand that those moments where the world stops are the moments in which your hypothalamus pulses into your entire mechanism, particularly your immune system. Wisdom. Very non-scientific term, isn't it? I'll never stop harping this. Before I pass, I will have an adequate translation between what I just said and the guts of science, because it is there. And each week I face this argument. Microbes are not intelligent. So many of the things that we see the body do that clearly point to a higher intelligence in terms of how our mechanism sustains itself, our human mechanism sustains itself. So much of that is denied, not respected. And this is where we lose. So I offer you this little story today, not just to point the subtleties out of a personal practice of my own that I always invite you to join. I'm going to go up the coast fairly soon as I can get away, and spend a couple of days doing this. And definitely I have plans, and you should have plans. You should be thinking about taking that piece of property and building an ice pool into it with a banya sauna. And any of my shows on these topics are abound in detail. Go to VODA in the Los Angeles area, VODA, or go to the Korean spas in downtown LA, or just find authentic banya. In other words, hot cold therapy. And please do not do what everybody does. And this is what everybody does. And don't do this. Don't take these reductionist cliff note versions of real practices and then just tone it down to, oh yeah, I do a banya practice. I kind of go into the ocean too. Every morning I get up and I run the water really cold in the shower, and then I make it really hot, and then I make it really cold. And, you know, we're living in this ridiculously politically correct sycophantic society of self-indulgent entitled idiots who really take insult. They have issue. They take issue when somebody like me comes along and says, listen, that practice in the shower, it doesn't work. You see, and we all think that that's a negative statement. We've got this idea that because we aren't going to do the things that we would really need to do, that really will supercharge your immune system into completely different levels of efficacy, because we won't do what we need to do, we think it's okay to substitute it with cliff note versions. Please don't do that. Don't be part of this population we've brewed out of weakness on so many levels and make these pathetic substitutions. And yet, if you can really hold space for what I'm about to say, if you have absolutely no choice, by all means, it's a plus. Can you get that? Can you get that? Substituting what I'm talking about is a mere facsimile of what I'm suggesting you do. So, by all means, get away from this notion to do the hot, cold shower. But if you're non-ambulatory, if you can't do anything but that, then do that. Now, here's the thing. You have the opportunity, so many of you, to take a piece of your property and build, really, a banya system. The hot, cold, there is no substitute for this. If you just do hot, cold, and stretch, or if a piece of property that you sectioned off to build a real hot box, and these can be done very cheaply, under $5,000. For $10,000, you can do both. You can still have your garden. You can still have your trees. In Finland, it's in every community. It's in every backyard. In the boondocks of Northern Europe, including Russia, these things are done regularly. So I'm not talking about very, very expensive practices. And if you're fortunate enough to be near the ocean, well, then you've got the ocean. And yes, if you're just in Long Beach and Palos Verdes and Huntington Beach and Redondo Beach and Santa Monica, you know, you don't have these practices where the water is filthy. There is common sense to be used here. But if you can go south enough and north enough, just on our coastline here in Southern California, you can really enjoy this. It's not just a neurological practice. It's a practice that stimulates the immune system. Now, the immune system, you have to keep in mind, is centered in the bone marrow. And you have to affect the bone marrow. Unless you want to take your body fat down to 10%, unless you want to do that, pull your tendons open to the point where you are as flexible as a pretzel. You are truly gumboid. You've truly transformed yourself into the Swami, into the yogic. Unless you're going to do that, you're not going to get to your bone marrow any other way. And stimulating the bone marrow is everything. The guy I suggest you really hook into is Wim Hof, W-I-M-H-O-F. And I've had his YouTube clips on my show before, and I've talked about him. Refresh yourself with his practice. There's a reason he's claiming it'll supercharge immunity. To build this into your repertoire is massive. You won't get sick. And I remember my stories. If you do this in a place where the water is pristine, where it's really clean, for instance, up the coast in the Big Sur region, the initial detoxifications are massive. What you'll get for 5 minutes in water like that is worth 100 cleanses. This stuff really works. It's very inexpensive. And I don't think anything tops it. Not just for the immune system, but for the nervous system, which controls the immune system. Again, that bone marrow, that's deep in the body. It's the core layer. So while you might think of your skin as one layer and your organ systems as another layer, the last place you affect in any health practice is the brain and the bone marrow. As an anti-inflammatory practice, this is beyond anything. You're taking herbs in the name of countering the inflammatory, the pro-inflammatory practice. For instance, if you're a carboholic, if your blood glucose and insulin run high, if you're in that unfortunate state where you're creating so much inflammatory mechanism from the cytokines that come with high insulin and high blood sugar, and you have a choice, like in ocean practice, versus all the herbs and all the kingdoms and all the lands that are going to claim to neutralize the inflammatory process that runs with high blood sugar, and you have a choice between the two, which one do you think is going to have more effect? And this is what I'm talking about. Choose the heavy guns of nature. So, as an anti-inflammatory practice, it's second to none. As something that will boost immunity, meaning make your immune system through shock more aggressive, it's second to none. As something that's going to bring blood to the bone marrow, it's way up there in the list. For something that's cheap and inexpensive, it's second to none. And if you're hitting that phase of life, that wonderful phase of life where it's time to retire, and you're thinking about how you're going to divvy out the funds for $10,000 for a trip to Hawaii, for only a percentage of what you're going to go spend in Europe, that great Mercedes that you're driving and the down payment on it, or what you're going to spend on it over a couple of years, you can develop a real Banya practice? Are you kidding me? Microbes, and this is what I'm going to get into in the second part of the show. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Get on my website, Straight Talk on Health. I'm going to do a second part of the show on the immune system, and I'm going to get a lot more technical. I wanted to drop you guys and remind you guys, and welcome if you're new to the show, some of the radical practices for health, so we don't have to just delude ourselves into thinking that a little bit more vitamin C and goji berry is going to cut it. Because, guys, it doesn't. It doesn't. not relative to the things that I offer you in the show. But I do a much more technical part of the show. So get on straighttalk.cc in about an hour and listen to another 40 minutes, but with pictures and in a more technical way. And what we're going to get into later on is how people don't know this. The reason that we have not been consumed by bacteria, we, our organism, Homo sapien, mammalian, have not been consumed by bacteria, is because the viruses, the number one role of the virus is to kill the bacteria. You think we're at war with the microbes. You got to get some insight into how viruses and bacteria go at it. It is fascinating. It's something I'm going to share with you the second part of the show. But let me just say this. Because of the viruses, the mammals, Homo sapien, has not been consumed by the bacteria. Viruses are taking out bacteria as we speak. And I don't care what the microbiologists say. I don't care what the scientists say. They're not scientists if they don't see that these organisms have a certain type of intelligence. They think. And we reduce their thought process to what in microbiology we call the forces of natural selection. They are not the forces of natural selection. The choices the organism makes that it doesn't even know it's making, including us, are driven by a higher intelligence. And it is nothing wrong with using the word intelligence. You know, this is a disparity between people that say they believe in God, but then when they jump the argument into the field of science or health, then all of a sudden you can't use God's derivatives. God has given us derivatives. The universal force creates an intelligence, and that intelligence manifests in every subset of it that we study. So why do we want to deny it? But we do deny it. Go tell a microbiologist that it appears that the bacteria thinks or the virus thinks. And they'll tell you and they'll look at you like, if you use that word again, I won't talk to you anymore, because you then become one of those nut jobs that think these organisms have an intelligence. And this is what I mean. These are the same guard-faring people that sometimes we'll talk at length about God, but if you apply God's dividends into the field of science, then all of a sudden it doesn't apply. This is stupid. And this is why I say a practice like the one I'm talking about, as well as any health practice, primes intelligence. Spiritual force is an intelligence that manifests in an optimization of your body's physiological, neurological, biochemical mechanisms. There is nothing wrong with this. And you can prove it. And the mediator between the two is the nervous system. Go ahead. Just once. Just have the guts once to take me up on this. Take your stressed out, sickly, burned out, fried out body. And on a fine day where the sky is blue and the Pacific Ocean is like a swimming pool, literally like a swimming pool, something really safe, go with a loved one to watch you in the water, to make sure you're safe. Dive in the ocean. Anywhere from Huntington Beach all the way down to San Diego. Use your common sense. And in the morning, I didn't say 11 o'clock. I didn't say 2 in the afternoon. I didn't say at night. I said somewhere between 5:30 and 8 o'clock in the morning. Go into the ocean. Use your common sense. But stay there. Stay there for a good half an hour. Stretch on the beach. Do some jumping jacks, roll around, go back in the ocean, and do it until the water just feels warm. And then email my show. Because you're going to say, I get it. I know what you're talking about. The effect of that will stay with you the entire day. And it will change you. And it's just giving you an inkling of what I'm talking about. Now combine that. Combine that with my other 406 shows. And you are operating at a different frequency. That is an immune system force, primer, that you have to bring to the infinitely diverse creative intelligence of the virus, of the bacteria. And in the second half of the show, I'm going to be getting into some of the things these things do that blow your mind. Bacteria that invade other bacteria through what we call a plasmid. And this plasmid, which is a piece of a chromosome, then incorporates the DNA from the plasmid into the DNA of the bacteria. It's like me coming up to another person and simply saying, you know, I like those blue eyes. And I have green eyes. And I'm going to give you some of my DNA. I'm going to just put it in your hand and you can swallow it. And your children will have green eyes. Their ability to transfer genetic intelligence to each other is so much more sophisticated than Homo sapien. It is so much more energy effective. It is so much more rapid. And that's bacteria. And they better be like that, because they have to deal with viruses that are even better at the process. We all evolved in a microbial soup. And we have to embrace. We'll never understand cancer if we don't do this. Never. And although the immunotherapies for cancer are, they're brilliant in their own way, they're still not utilizing the deeper immune system mechanisms. They're still not addressing why one's immune system failed in the first place. Think about that. You get cancer because your immune system cannot identify the growth of this in its early phase. And with all the therapies you may do over that 5 or 10 year span before you pass, not one bit of the National Institute of Health devotes itself towards figuring out why you got it in the first place, but your friend didn't. And when they do, they dummy it down to, well, it's just a difference in your genetics. To that, my friends, disrespecting God has consequences. 714-850-1007, 714-850-1007. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici in private practice in Costa Mesa. If you're lost in the labyrinth of help, give us a call. Come in and see me. I'll set you straight. See you next week.
Okay, that's a wrap. Don't forget to get to Dr. Medici's website at drmedici.com to look at the pictures and review the show as often as you wish. See you next week.
All right, part two. I had to have a little breakfast, excuse me. Pardon the delay in the recording. Lamb, rack of lamb with eggs, fertile eggs, sunny side up. Nice and light, though. Don't overcook the yolk. Sear the lamb. Today I didn't want it too raw, so it was a good rare, but towards a medium rare. It went down like butter. That's the key. It's the perfect complement to the ocean. Lamb builds heat, so do eggs. Synergy. I have a great show for you, part two. Mysteries of the immune system without bullshit. I don't know what drug everyone's doing, but I'm not on it. And that's the drug of all these immunoboosters. You know, maybe everything from your vitamin C's to your beta-glucans with the mushrooms, so on and so forth. Not a bad thing to do. But you don't see radical shifts. You don't. You do not. You know, to intravenous vitamin C, short term, if people are really in the shithole as far as health is concerned, not a bad move. But that's not the slant with this show. This show is asking you to go out into nature and pluck therapies that are there that really work, that are dramatic, that we're not doing because we've placed them in that mecca of, well, that's an impossibility. That's only for rich people, or that's only for crazy people or people that live in the woods, but not for urban people with lives and responsibilities and the rest of it. And we got to get off that. We got to get off that. You know, we're hitting critical mass points in many levels of society, and this is one of them. So if I talk to you about the immune system, mysteries of the immune system, without bullshit, lend an ear. I've got two excellent articles. Look at the pictures. You're on the website. If you're hearing this because you're cruising YouTube, you know, we post to YouTube, get on the website for the pictures, or it's not going to make much sense. That's straighttalk.cc, not .com.cc. Go to the website. I don't post pictures on YouTube. Picture number one, the immune system. The bone marrow. That's where the immune system cells are made. Is your bone marrow viable? As we age, it becomes less and less viable, therefore immunodeficient. Picture two, organs of the immune system. We talk about the spleen. So what? Who cares about the spleen? Just move your lymph and the spleen is fine. What are we talking about? The thymus gland, which just about deteriorates as we age. Pump blood into it because you're expanding through the rib cage when you breathe. But this isn't understood. Nor is this something you can do because you will it consciously, meaning if that rib cage isn't flexible, the inhalation will not expand the rib cage. It's like trying to expand the rib cage with steel chains around your chest pulled tight. It doesn't happen. And of course, what we do then in place of that is throw a lot of people into a room and tell them to breathe and inhale with force. And this is useless. Flexibility is the prerequisite to diaphragmatic breath. It's the bottom line. Lymph nodes. Yeah, that's part of the immune system. So what? Lymphatic vessels. The immune system is viable bone marrow. The immune system is, make sure the lymph move based on the things you do to move the lymph. And then, of course, once you produce those immune system cells, are they under the control? Are they under reasonable influence from the autonomic nerves? Does the hypothalamus talk to the immune system? You got that going, you got everything. But to do that, well, that's the commitment. Now, there's reality. You want to compare that to downing some vitamin C and pumping up your macrophages with beta-glucans from the mushrooms. Good luck, my friend. Not that it's a bad thing to do. It's not a bad thing to do if you can do nothing. You know, I get this from people. You know, I can't do any of this. You know, Medici, you're not in reality because, you know, I live in a room somewhere and I'm 90 and I can't get out of the house. So what can I do? Do what you can do. It's not a criticism if you can't dive in the ocean. But I am well aware that the problem for many of us is we've bought this horse shit that prevails on radio that are just finding slick rationalizations for selling you more herbs and leaving out what really works. Sorry, that's the key. So I'm all for herbs. I think the next seminar we're going to do is on how to use herbs. But not in place of this stuff. Picture three. Yeah, there's the lymph. Good. Look at that. Look at that network. If you're not pulsing, the lymph don't pulse. Done. Lymphatic massage, good if you can't get out of bed. The $40,000 light beam generator, good if you've got a lot of money to spend and you can't get out of bed. But you want to move lymph? Move your body. You want to move lymph? Go out into nature. Let the residents of nature vibrate you. End of story. Next. Picture number four. Just so you know, the bone is cortical bone. That's what makes bone hard. And then in the center of it is marrow. Some of your bones have more marrow than other parts of your bones. The femur, the ribs. Great marrow sources. Look at picture seven. That marrow is producing the army of immune system cells, the neutrophils, the eosinophils, basophils, monocytes, macrophages, killer Ts, natural killer, meaning NK cells, natural killer cells, your B lymphocytes, your T cells, blah, blah, blah. That's the spot, man. Now, the issue is, look at picture 11. That marrow goes from red to yellow as you age. So there it is. Conversion of red to yellow marrow, what can we do about it? We can do everything about it. That's why I keep harping on the water practice. Picture 10. Great electron microscopy. I love it, don't you? There's your marrow. There's the red marrow, and in between is the yellow marrow. That ratio is what you're after. That ratio is what you are after. Picture 12. I'm pretty sure that little blue thing, that's either an NK cell or a T8 cell, a killer T cell or an NK cell, going after a tumor cell or some big bacteria. Honestly, I'm not sure. I meant to look that up. But you get about eight of these blues on one big thing and it collapses the cancer cell. The question is, can it see it? Or is that cancer cell flickering these signals on its membrane to delude or hypnotize the immune system? Can the immune system respond? Can this interface between the two be attenuated through genetic engineering or through the body's natural mechanisms? We're going to get into that. We're going to get into that because that's the future. I put two articles up top. Scientists train the immune system to fight cancer. Immunotherapy has arrived, but not for everyone. I want to get into those articles later. We're just warming up here. I'm feeling you. Every show I have to feel you. That way I know how to get to you. All right. You want to cut to the chase on it all. Bacteria, cancer, virus, smart animals. They're alive. They're alive and they're intelligent. Done deal. Microbiologists hate using those terms because it makes it sound like they have human intelligence. They do have human intelligence. They're smarter in many ways. You know, a cockroach has more genes than a human. A cockroach. You have bacteria with many more genes than humans. Humans are the smartest in certain ways, but that doesn't mean they're the most diversified. It doesn't mean they have the most amount of tools in their bag. Microbes, virus, bacteria, they can dip into some pretty nifty little mechanisms. We're going to get into that now. Just so you understand what you're up against and why you got to reach down into your own pockets to pull out a solution. All right. Picture 13, I put it there just for you. Those are two bacteria having sex. They're different bacteria. They're not the same bacteria. Bacteria are gender and ethnicity neutral, race neutral, creed, color. If they can do it, they'll do it. It's Woodstock for all bacteria from the beginning of time. There's one. It's sticking what you call a plasmid. I think the one on top is sticking his plasmid, it's called. P-L-A-S-M-I-D. It's sticking its snooter into another microbe to transfer either a plasmid or a piece of chromosome. I'll show you what I mean. Go to picture 14. Perfect. Picture 14. Well, actually, I don't want to do picture 14 right now. Let's do picture 18. Blow that picture up after you click it. Just make it a little bigger so you can see it nice and clear. Look at the picture. On the left, it says there's a donor cell. So these are two bacteria, and they're connected to each other. I've got to confirm that that connector is called a plasmid. I may have, that may not be. But that's not relevant right now, the connector there. Look at that picture, and you see that bacteria on the left with the circle in the center? It's green and it's red. That's a bacteria that they're going to call the donor cell, donor. Like it's going to give something. Yeah, it's going to give a chunk of its DNA to that bacteria on the right side called the recipient cell. They don't have to be the same bacteria. They can be different strains. They can be different bacteria. I think they may even do this with parasites. I'm not sure. But here's the key point. Microbes are always have been, and always will be, capable of transmitting genetic material back and forth, or I should say between each other, so they can confer resistance or adaptability to situations that would otherwise wipe them out. That's why they're still here. And that should be very significant to us because we face the same challenges, only we're not as good at it. So while we, even in the scientific myopia, while we as Homo sapien are at the top of the food chain, we have a certain special kind of intelligence. We don't adapt as well as bugs do. That we're going to be here for 4 billion years, or 3 billion or 2 billion or the next 100 million is quite debatable. That bugs are going to be here in a couple of million, a couple of 100 million years is far less debatable. Why? They've already proven it. Unless we become beings of light, what does that mean? What kind of idiotic nonsense is beings of light? Maybe there's a reason our genetic deck has journeyed itself to the point that it's at. Maybe there's a reason. Maybe there is an infinitely diverse potential within us. And maybe we ought to start exploring that. And maybe when we find out that the bugs are faster at resisting the drugs we give ourselves, maybe we ought to suspect there's another way. But maybe we ought to make a real inquiry into that instead of the fake inquiry we're making now. Profit-driven fake inquiry based on claims that we can't support. We create more hell for ourselves because we make claims we can't support. Or at least don't have any real... Well, what's the word for it? If I say to you that within yourself is a capacity to go into your own genetic deck and enhance, facilitate the rate and acumen that you can bring to life's adversity, bacterial, viral, parasitic challenges. If I say there are more effective mechanisms to employ than what we're demonstrating, that our practices are weak, that's a claim that I can substantiate. But we don't have the double-blind placebo studies to do so. We only have independent examples that are reduced to anecdotes of people who seem to do the impossible. And that there's only your sense of truth that can excite you about the possibilities. It's only your sense of truth. It's not like you're going to go into the New England Journal of Medicine. When you see a guy like Wim Hof come along and do things to manipulate his immune system that are extraordinary and then prove it, this is why it's such a big deal. And people have been doing this along the lines for a long, long, long time. But it's not going to turn into the type of science that our present version of it is going to, with unanimity, get behind and say, yes, we'll incorporate that into the reality of us. It's not going to happen. But your sense of truth tells you that's true. This is in stark contrast to thinking that you're going to bring your immune system to levels out of buying some herb at GNC or Whole Foods, or that your naturopath or nutritionist give you, or that these IV cocktails of immunoboosters are really a substitute for these other types of practices. You got to bring that to a microbe. So look at this. This microbe is basically transferring part of its chromosome into another microbe. That's not a little thing. That's a big deal. When you exchange DNA like that, we say the recipient cell is recombined, recombinant. The big word for when chromosomes mate is called recombination. We do it in prophase of meiosis every single time. Every single time sperm meets egg and your chromosome deck meets somebody else's, the reason the children don't look exactly like one of the two parents, or 98% other than some SNPs, is because of recombination. And that's when a chromosome meets a chromosome and they all do a dance and create a third kind of chromosome. It's called crossing over. These bugs are crossing over. But they do it at a rate that's far beyond our ability. They do it faster. They do it more easily. This is no joke. Go to picture. Oh, what did we do here? Hang on a second, guys. Okay. Go to picture. Yeah, go to picture 15. Picture number 15. It's got that like green lake in the middle of it. Okay, picture 15. And just pardon me one second here. I'm having a little tech problem here. Just a second. There we go. Okay, thank you. Picture 15. That's using the term bacterial plasmid. You know how our chromosomes are X's, right? Well, bacteria have these circular things in them. Some do. Lots do. Loops of DNA. Bacterial plasmids found in some bacteria contain special genes that are not related to basic life functions. Can be transferred from one bacterial cell to another. A lot of bacteria have these weird-looking circular arrays of chromosomes, different than their other chromosomes. Remember, they can have way more genes than we do. We have about 40,000 genes. Right? They can have way more. But separate from their chromosome is this circular, weird-looking thing from outer space called a plasmid. Guess what they do with those plasmids? They send them to other bacteria. That's big. That's not a little thing. They send the plasmid to another bacteria. Go to picture 14. Here's a classic example. Number one, you have a bacteria that has a plasmid. It's got its chromosome and then it's got its plasmid. Plasmids are weird. They amaze me. The first time I saw a plasmid, I got shook up. I really got shook up. I don't know what it was. It hit me. I don't know why. I just had this feeling that this thing was from outer space. Or that, you know, the way when they depict Atlantis, the lost continent, right? If you believe in that mumbo jumbo witchcraft, that occult evil stuff that says that we just might have been preceded by superior cultures thousands of years ago. Absurd, right? Yeah. Tell that to the guy that resurrected Troy. Boobs. Göbekli Tepe. The carbon dating brings it back 12,000 years. Things are going to change, my friends. They're changing now. You know, every time there's a discovery, the discovery that takes your independence away from you, that makes you less autonomous, that's the discovery that gets the press. But the discoveries that can open our horizons in ways that empower, those discussions always go into the garbage can of occult idiocy, so on and so forth. This is why guys like Graham Hancock, Robert Bavall, John Anthony West, these guys are heroes. And then, like all the time, like always, they have to be destroyed by their own. Like that ancient alien thing with that Greek guy with that big wig on his head, Toukouloupoulos, whatever his name is. That cat exaggerates. And people like Graham Hancock and Bivol, they don't exaggerate. They're really trying to open our horizons to other possibilities. Atlantis is one of them. At any rate, this plasmid looks like Atlantis to me. But what these bacteria do with this, these extra sets of chromosomes of genes is they send them lock, stock, and barrel into another bacteria. And look at what this one's doing here. Picture one, antibiotic-resistant bacterium. And then number two, do you see the plasmid, that blue circular thing, is being put into another bacteria? I'm trying to remember the name of the connector. We call this conjugation. I can't remember the name of the connector. It's not plasmid. I'll think of it as soon as this is done, probably. Now look what's happened. Number three, that plasmid's transferred and both bacteria are now antibiotic resistant. What a capacity. What a capacity. It's like saying when we got hit with the bubonic plague, and some people just never got it because they were resistant, that you could inoculate someone else with yourself to transfer that. And that's what the bacteria are doing, but in a way more slick fashion. They do that in like 20 minutes. Not exactly, but they do it much, much, much faster. Good luck with your drugs. This is why we have so much trouble with our drugs. This is how these bugs are becoming antibiotic resistant. And that's the issue with immunotherapy I'm going to get into. Immunotherapy promises that we can go in and engineer the immune system so it can see the cancer cell that it will otherwise not see. The problem is all the other drugs you have to take to make it work. And then the other problem is cancer's not stupid. Cancer's like a microbe. It'll figure out what you did and it'll snap back at you. But, you know, we're not supposed to say the cancer cell is smart. It doesn't have an intelligence. It's just, you know, a dumb cell. This is a big mistake. All right. Picture 16. There's another picture of the microbe changing places, trading it off. So, one bacteria can transfer a plasmid to another. That's the circular thing. Now look at 16. Excuse me, 18. 18, not 16, 18. You're looking at this again. This is not the transfer of a plasmid. This is the transfer of a piece of the chromosome. Look at what it says. High-frequency replication strains, that means a certain type of bacteria, can donate chromosomal genes rather than just the F plasmid. So bacteria can spread what they want to spread two ways. They can send that plasmid, which has certain types of genes, or they can go into its own chromosome, separate from the plasmid, and they can donate pieces of that chromosome. What's what and who's who? Don't ask me. I don't think you could ask anyone. We don't know. We only know these are versatile bugs. That's another form of conjugation. So conjugation between bacteria is either plasmid transfer or chromosomal transfer. Here's what's interesting, and I don't want to complicate it for you, but if you have a bacteria that wants to transfer a piece of its chromosome, it takes its own plasmid and integrates its own plasmid into its own chromosome, and then it becomes capable of transferring its chromosome. So the plasmid is the real vector. The plasmid is the entity that does the transfer of itself, or it goes into its own chromosome and then transfers the chromosome that it integrated into. Plasmids are big, man. They're really big. And of course, what we're doing now is we're taking the plasmids and we're genetically engineering them. That's what we're doing in the labs. That's very exciting stuff. That offers all sorts of prospects. Which I think, unfortunately, we're going to find short-sighted in the long run. I can already see immunotherapy in cancer is going to go nowhere. That I can see. Because no matter how quickly and effectively we augment our immune system cells, that cancer cell, it's just too smart. You got to get it differently. But this other thing where re-engineer the plasmid, I think that's going to have some incredible application. Now, don't forget your viruses. Yeah, now we got another animal to deal with. Ugly looking, these viruses. Ugly is sin. Go to page 20, picture 20. Actually, that's not an ugly enough picture of these things. Go to 21. Yeah. They look like mosquitoes. As I said in the first half of the show, the viruses kill the bacteria all the time. The microbiologists are well aware that we as a species exist, mammals exist, because the bacteria are regulated. Their populations are controlled because of viral attack. Without that, life would not be as we know it. These little ugly-looking things that you can have nightmares about called viruses have so much to do with this. So look at that picture. And again, we're on picture 21. There's that mosquito. Now up there, that thing that looks like a stop sign on the top of its head, basically a virus, that's called a capsid. That stop sign and that thing that comes out of it, not the legs, but the other long piece, that's called a capsid, C-A-P-S-I-D, capsid. And then there's the legs. It's kind of like, God, isn't truth is stranger than fiction? I mean, look at that thing. Disgusting. Looks just like a mosquito, but it's worse. Mosquitoes carry those around, right? At any rate, the virus digs its feet, its pincers there, into the membrane of a bacteria. See that little blue thing? If you look at that picture number one, it's like it's squirting something into the bacteria. That squirt is a strand of DNA, and that DNA incorporates into the DNA of the microbe. So look at picture one. I mean, illustration one. Viral attachment and penetration. The phage, that's what the virus is called, the phage infects a cell. Picture two, the integration. The phage DNA becomes incorporated into the host's DNA or genome. Number three, the phage is excised from the bacterial chromosome along with a short piece of DNA. The DNA is then packaged into newly formed capsids. So, the DNA of the virus separates. It separates from the bacterial DNA, but takes along with it a short piece of the bacterial DNA. But what happens then is that piece of the viral DNA and that piece it stole becomes another virus. And guess what happens to all those viruses? They don't show this. All those viruses keep multiplying in number until they burst the cell. That's one form of a viral infection. Now, that does not benefit the bacteria. Bacteria is dead, or you're dead. And that's not the only way viruses work, but this is one way. And in this case, that virus is going to go spread this process. It multiplied itself, and it's going to keep infecting. It's eating the DNA of bacteria. So look at four, the infection phage. This is the cat that came out of the burst cell. It's one of billions that it reproduced, containing both viral and bacterial DNA, infects a new host cell. And that doesn't have to be the same host. It could be a different one, but it picked up DNA from something else to make itself stronger. So let's say a virus trying to infect a cell doesn't do a great job. Other viruses infecting other cells, picking up their DNA, may gain abilities it didn't have before. And now they're doing this at a rate, at an astronomical rate. And that's virus, sucking off DNA from bacteria and killing it. Sometimes it doesn't kill it. Sometimes it just drops in the DNA and leaves. Look at picture number 20. There it is. It's just another way of explaining the same thing. The virulent phage attacks a bacteria. Then it goes off into the sunset, but its viral DNA is integrated into the chromosome. But that, forget that picture. That picture is going to get too confusing. When you see the viral DNA and integrates into a chromosome and you see that little virus flying away there, what it's not going to show you is what it showed you in the other one. That piece of that blue and part of that chromosome are going to break off inside the cell, and that's going to form another virus. And then the next picture shows you the result, lysing of the cell once again, an infection of new cells. Look at picture 19. Two types of transduction. A DNA fragment, picture 19. A DNA fragment is transferred from one bacteria to another by a lytic bacteriophage. That's a virus now carrying a donor bacterial DNA that it stole. Now look at specialized transduction. A DNA fragment is transferred from one bacteria to another by a temperate bacteriophage. A temperate bacteriophage means that the virus is not going to lyse or destroy the bacteria. And there's reasons for that that they're not getting into in this sentence, or that usually they don't get into. But let us suffice to say, viruses are the trickiest of all, because they run around, inject their DNA into whatever they want, and one of two things happen. What they inject the DNA into takes the DNA and uses it. Or it takes the DNA and then the DNA evolves into another virus which bursts the cell. There's two endpoints in transduction. One is the cell explodes, and the other one is the virus injects, its DNA flies away, and new genes are granted to the cell that it infects, which they're usually saying is a bacteria. What's this all mean to your immune system? I'll tell you. It means your immune system has some real challenges. Look at this, and this isn't even the surface. This is less than the surface. All the stuff about immunity? When you have microbes doing this, what do you think these plagues are about? What do you think AIDS was about? The bubonic plague, the Spanish flu, the flus we get each year. Well, they're kind of leaving something out. And that's what we've evolved to. What we have evolved to. And why have we evolved to that point? So if a Swami says, if Wim Hof says, go ahead, inject some virulent bacteria into me, and between me, my autonomic nervous system, some breath, and some cold water, I'm going to spin out a response that's going to shock and amaze you. And then I'm going to teach it to other people. Wim Hof's not the first guy to do this. Not the first guy. This is standard fare. Wim Hof is a... he's no Swami. Guarantee you. And that's the thing. We've already proven we've got built into our system ways to augment our own immune system. Get down to picture 29. I'm not going to get into this today. That's an antibody. This is a selective monoclonal that preferentially targets tumor-specific or tumor-associated antigens. Big word for a cancer cell will have flags or graffiti on its membrane. And we have immune system integers, in this case an antibody, commonly produced by lymphocytes, B lymphocytes. And these things are designed to go and look for graffiti, tattoos on the membranes of certain things they target. In this case, tumors, cancer cells. Now you see there, this is the last picture now. I want to make sure you're on it. That's picture 29. You've got this antigen binding site. And the antigen is the word used to denote the target for the immune system. The thing that's messing up your organism that the immune system wants to go after. That's the antigen. And on the antibody, there's these pincers that it binds to the antigen with. Great. Now you see that there? The lower right, the potent cytotoxic payload. A 100 to 1,000 times more efficacious than regular chemotherapeutics. Yeah, you ain't kidding, Jack. What your immune system can do that we'll never replicate. So the antibodies in our own body drop these bombs into the enemy after they bind to them. What I'm not showing you here today is these arms, these limbs of the antibody have all sorts of games they can play. The antibody can adapt to the microbe. The immune system can think. And when you're attacking, whether it's a cancer cell or a virus or a bacteria or a parasite, whatever your immune system is going after, it's got tons and tons of tricks. Tricks that are already there. There's a lot of considerations to the word immunity. You have to have your autonomic nervous system in balance or forget it. You have to have your sleep cycles down or forget it, not just as a function of the autonomics, but sleep and the immune system are allies. No sleep, you have a sluggish immune system. There's something about sleep that supercharges the immune system. You also have to understand that the way you look at the immune system is a war in which you're given a finite number of troops, meaning your bone marrow, so now we're going back to bone marrow, produces these. What's the rate at which it produces it? Why is an 80-year-old with a ton of yellow fat rather than red pulp in their bone marrow going to be more immunocompromised than a 16-year-old or a 14-year-old? Why? Well, because they can't produce it at the immune system warriors cannot be produced at sufficient intensity, sufficient numbers. There's no jing, there's no force, there's no red pulp. The bone marrow of an immunosuppressed 80-year-old, 70-year-old, relative to a 20-year-old, that bone marrow is rotted out. It's all gone from red to yellow. The bone marrow is not viable. So you can't produce the numbers that you need. Now look at that. Viability of bone marrow, sleep, balance within the autonomic nervous system. Three huge things. Those are huge. And do you really think the immune system is the only thing that kills? You think the immune system is the only thing that kills microbes, that kills cancer cells? Pancreatic enzymes go after cancer cells. Hydrochloric acid kills microbes. Not just inside your GI tract, but systemically. You have a host of circulating chemicals. Why do you think, and then all these little particles? Now, you can talk about what vitamin C will deliver. But while we're thinking about what vitamin C can deliver, I'd rather put it on the backside of adequate hydrochloric acid production. Go to the intact mechanisms and then bring them into highly efficient levels. There's a reason people get sick when they're old or stressed or burdened. And if we're going to start assuming that that's just normal, that this is what we just have to accept and forego that discussion of what to do about that and put it on the back of immunotherapy or herbs, we're lying to ourselves and we're going to lose, and we are losing. So you can say it's absurd to dive in the ocean. You can say it's absurd to go take $10,000 and build banya into your backyard. You can say it's absurd to sleep in a yurt. You can think it's absurd to get flexible to the point where your muscle peels off the bone so that you can get the skin of the bone, the periosteum, actually rolled over or rattled or cross fiber deep to the point where you can affect the marrow. If you think cleansing to the point and fasting to the point where, like a sponge, you can squeeze out all the goo in your body so these other mechanisms can facilitate an optimal you, a paranormal you, something to turn off those genes that you don't ever want turned on, the deleterious genes. If you think that's radical, I think rotting away at 70 years old, I think rotting away after you're 70 years old and losing bowel function, sexual function, being incapable of pursuing your dream, I think that's radically destructive. We just got to look at it from a different standpoint. And don't we want to think radically when we live in a world of plasmids, bacteria conferring resistances to our man-made solutions? The beauty of being able to reverse the bone marrow, and we know we can. Bone marrow will reverse from yellow back to red. So when I say radical, I mean just do what it takes. And look at what you're up against. Look at picture 22. I don't think that's radical. How many people could do that that don't? Piece of land in a yurt like that, what do you think that costs? I see people remodel their kitchens. Do you know what it feels like to me when somebody that can't take the time to do all the things they could do? Spend $20,000 remodeling a kitchen? Great. For half that, you could put something like that in your backyard or on a piece of property. Look at this woman, picture 23. Look at that. That's beautiful. These people are up in Finland. This doesn't need to be Finland. This could be Michigan. It could be a suburb in Chicago. That's radical, man. And that works. What those women are doing for their health, that water has got to be about, that water is under 40 degrees. That is cold. Gentlemen, protect your royals. That could hurt. Spending 1, 2, 3 minutes in that kind of water and then doing what? Jumping into a 200 degree sauna? Picture 24, take a look. You go from picture 23 to picture 24, sit in something like picture 24 that you built in your backyard, that's maybe no bigger than a phone booth. You don't think you're going to wake up your immune system? What did I say in the first half of the show? That's shock. Shock. That's perfusion to the bone marrow. Look at picture 25. Look at that. It looks like one of those construction toilet sites. Look at that. I don't know where that is. I mean, look at that. Dive into the ice as you walk out of whatever's in that box. That's a banya. Those pink canisters there, it's part of what's supplying the heat to the rocks. Amazing stuff. In 27, Russia. Kids, this is a common practice in Russia. Take little kids, I mean adults do it also, but train your kid into the water like that. Dump it into an ice bath. These kids are running around. They're not getting sick. I kid you not. Picture 26, that's a clip I took from Voda. I mean, for L.A., Vogt is a fairly authentic spa. We've got some of the Korean spas. You got to go into the Banya sauna. It's got to be 200 plus degrees. Don't bother with this 180, 160. 200 plus. And again, as always, right, take your time. Don't push yourself too fast. Don't be a hero. But you can go from 200 degrees, 220 degrees, then into water that's about 50. You go back and forth. You build your strength. Or you do what I do, which is diving in the oceans. This will be a lifelong practice for me that I'm going to embellish many, many times over. I kid you not. Mysteries of the immune system. Here, let's see where science is taking this. Click on Article 1. Click on Article 1. As scientists train the immune system to fight cancer, others look to combat costs. You're darn right. I have cancer people right now, cancer patients spending hundreds and thousands on this thing. For decades, chemo's been on the only thing. Immunotherapy is now emerging as the fourth pillar alongside chemo, radiation, and surgery. Chemo, radiation, surgery, other than certain specific kinds of surgery, they have poor outcomes. Unlike these older, immuno works by boosting your own immune system's natural ability to detect. They should be careful with that term. You'll see why. Boosting your immune system might sound cheap, but with a foe like cancer, simply upping your vitamin C intake won't cut it. They're right. It won't cut it. I know a ton of orthomolecular guys that claim that that does make a huge difference. And, you know, it'll make a contribution. Like, all this stuff makes a contribution, but the people's problems are they think that alternative therapy for cancer is simply a matter of doing all these fancy schmancy approaches that are alternative and natural and that are powerful, but they think that you just add those up and you get it, and that's not how it works. This is something that people that think they're on the fringe of alternative therapy do not ever get through their head. And the people that are the worst at getting this are the people with the money. When someone's sick and they've got $500,000, $1 million to spend on therapy, they're convinced that they're just going to buy the best in the world. And there are always these doctors running around with these high-end therapies that usually mean injections and all sorts of IV drips that stake these great claims, and that they're missing the point. But go tell that to someone that just dropped a couple hundred thousand on the Brzezinski Clinic, or Hallowing out in the Black Lake out in Germany, the Black Forest out in Germany, or the Gerson Clinic, or that guy Foresight in Nevada, I think he is, or somewhere out there, $40,000 for openers. So look at all of that. Look at all of that in this sentence. Boosting your immune system might sound cheap, but with a foe like cancer, vitamin C won't cut it. You're right, it won't cut it. So what cuts it? These super expensive therapies that take stuff like vitamin C and glutathione and buff you up? Now that doesn't cut it either. Of course, the unfortunate implication in this article is spending that $100,000 boosting your immune system with engineered antibodies to better recognize cancer, that's going to do it. No, it's not. That's why Seyfried, Thomas Seyfried, is screaming that no, it's not. He's basically saying cancer is a metabolic imbalance. And there's all sorts of mystery into that statement that should be explored. You know what you do by boosting your immune system with immunotherapy? You buy time. That's what you do. And time's critical. So in that context, it's another good tool. but you're still only buying time. Engineering antibodies. Okay. If antibodies can stick to their target, they can recruit other parts of the immune system to take it out. So an antibody is like a lead. An antibody searches around. If it sees a binding site in a cancer cell, it sticks to it, and that gives off a signal for an NK cell or a macrophage or a killer T cell to come by. They work in unison. It's like a martial arts team. Fascinating stuff. Perhaps the most famous anti-cancer antibody drug is Herceptin. Yeah, God help you if you're on that. I mean, this is not simple stuff. This has side effects. But if it's going to slow down tumor growth and gives you a year or two, how can you knock it? Don't knock it, but knock it if it blurs. Knock it if it disguises practices that are more fundamental, that are metabolic, that are right there at the tip of your nose, that in the practice, whether you watch Donald Kelly or Gerson or Nick Gonzalez, neutralize this stuff, beat cancer, or read about people that beat cancer today. They're always working fundamentally. So it's not that something like Herceptin is such a bad thing. And I'm not even getting into side effects that may make it absolutely the wrong choice. I'm simply saying that there are systems in nature. You know, you talk to people at the Gerson Clinic, or you talk to Foresight, or you talk to some of these cats with their big clinics. They're giving you drips and injections of all sorts of wild stuff, from mistletoe to B17 to God knows what else. The list is always growing. But 2 years down the road, are you sleeping any better? 2 years down the road is the muck inside your body, the swamp of filth that promoted the dysplasia and then anaplasia, meaning that produced the cancer cell. Has that been significantly addressed? No. So what are you doing spending that kind of money being injected with every miracle natural medicine offers when over a year or two, consistently, you don't really watch people change their health? And this is what we're not getting in the holistic community. Yeah, I'm repeating myself. I'll be repeating myself till you listening are 200 years old. I'm going to be repeating myself forever. I'm never going to stop repeating myself until people start responding. Taking the brakes off T cells. We now know that cancer cells can be destroyed by a specialized type of white blood cell called a killer T cell. We now know, when did this article come out? 1410? This has got to be a fairly, I think this is a new article. I don't know why they said, we now know. At any rate, we now know to avoid being attacked by the immune system, healthy cells are decorated with molecules that turn killer T cells off whenever they come near. So the killer T cell doesn't attack your own cell. But as a normal cell transitions to a cancerous cell, some pick up the ability to coat themselves in these so-called checkpoint molecules, allowing them to put the brakes on an even a robust immune system attack. This process is known as immunoediting. It is now considered a hallmark of many of the most hazardous types of cancer. Right. By the time cancer has been triggered into immunoediting from the chemo and the rest of the crap, your killer T cells can't recognize it anymore. So they want to go in and re-engineer it to turn it back on. One such checkpoint molecule is a PD-L1 protein that shuts down the killer Ts by flipping a switch on the T cell itself. When the cancer cell picks up the ability to make more PD-L1, it becomes more effective shutting down T cells. So they look for that mutation. That's a mutation. It means the cancer cells go into its genetic deck and flips on a gene that expresses as this protein, and that stops your killer T cells. So they want to go in and attenuate that. Designer antibodies that disrupt this process are already available in the U.S. for patients with inoperable metastatic melanoma, certain non-small cell lung, renal cell carcinoma, and classic Hodgkin's. Nivolumab, go say that fast 10 times, is one such proven drug. These are harsh drugs. It costs approximately 4,000 times the cost of gold. It doesn't work anyway. This is what Seyfried is saying. You can flip all the switches you want till the end of time. See her down there? Look at him. Look at there she is there. Studied hard, has a good brain, is about as artificial as she could be. Meaning, bottom line, these people really don't understand health. They understand how to take facets of what it takes to combat disease. They're missing the point. And it's not that in and of itself their therapies are unwanted, but in the absence of the other pieces of it, well, they don't get the results. They won't. There's the guy below. Stanley Riddell, a pioneer in adoptive teeth. A more general approach, blah, blah, blah. Read the article. It's exciting stuff. There's tons more coming down the pipe. All your immunotherapies piggybacked off understanding how the natural machine works. Whether it's cancer in the human body, or plasmids, or viruses, and temperate phages, and lytic phages, and the whole thing, I'm suggesting to you. And that this isn't a mainstream understanding is the pity, and the tragedy of our time. That just from sleeping on the earth, in a circle, number two, and diving into the ocean, Hoffian style, we'll call it, will do more for your immune system, more to combat the flu, more to combat the prospect of cancer, more to keep the genes that you've been given that can give you cancer turned off for far longer than anything that's going to come down the pipe. And that's our tragedy. But it doesn't have to be your tragedy. That can be the hallmark of your next year. That can be your New Year's resolution. It's still not too late. And you can get a return on this immediately, and you'll know. And if you add it and integrate it into the rest of my shows, you'll see we have a nuclear arsenal to deploy if we just get out of our head and stop getting impressed with the delusion of science so that we can see the real science. And I'll leave you with that. That's a long show. You got an hour and a half of material. God bless you. I'll see you next week.